bless your name, Lord. Amen.
He touched me.
Bless your name, Lord. Thank you.
Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never see.
Help me, Lord. Yes.
I'll share.
Amen. We have a short video about Memorial Day. Thank you for putting that together too, Brother Jill.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We should have helped you, Brother Phil. We could have got the light.
Somebody's on all my connections here. It's a short video. It's only 3 minutes.
Brian's at the lights on.
You got the lights on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I should have walked off and that far away from it.
Second Timothy chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter number 3. And it's probably in your bulletin verses 16 and 17, but I'm going to read verse 15 as well and talk to you this morning about all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17. And we've tried to encourage you this past month and exhort you to memorize Scripture, to meditate in the Scriptures, to spend more time studying the Word of God. I don't think we realize how important that is, vital. That the Bible is in our relationship with God. I think we've got so used to going to church on Sunday, hearing a sermon, going home and laying our book on the shelf, that we don't realize how much power and life and strength and how much we need the Scriptures. And I've been trying and praying this month that to help you see how important it is. And I hope that the Lord has worked a work of grace in your heart to that end. We did mention in our announcements that next month we're focusing in on jubilation. And by the lack of enthusiasm this morning, I think it's probably a good time to focus in on that. There should be some amens and amen. Hallelujahs. And aren't you glad you're not homesick today, you know? If Jesus was here and you were worshiping him, I mean, would you just sit there like a knot on a log? I don't think we would. And I think we got in a bad habit of not giving the Lord the worship that he deserves. And so, but 2 Timothy 3 verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what do these God-breathed words do for us? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You're not going to get thoroughly furnished, completely equipped without the Word of God. And you can't get enough of it just on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
And y'all only give me a little bit of time at that. So if I go over to 12, y'all get a little bit upset about that sometimes. Not really, but we don't have much time, even in the morning. And then some are not coming back on Sunday nights. You need Sunday school, Sunday night, Bible study, meditating time. You need much more of the Word. Amen?
Amen?
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we do thank you for those who laid their lives down. I don't know how to honor them as they deserve to be honored. But Lord, I pray that you would help those who have lost loved ones on battlefields, comfort them today. And Lord, remind us, as Brother Phil pointed out in the video, that freedom is not free. And Lord, help us to take advantage of the freedoms we have to spread the good news that Jesus loves sinners, Jesus saves sinners, and that we can have a right relationship with you. God, please penetrate our heart with the truth of your word this morning. God, help us to see how important the scriptures are, how they're profitable. And I pray, God, that you would help us to leave with a renewed commitment of being the students of your word that we ought to be, especially that we would hope to be as we stand before you one day in judgment. Lord, please speak to us. Have your way in this service, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last Sunday morning, to try to stress how important the Bible is to us, I mentioned to you Job chapter 23 and verse 12, where Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can survive physically with food, but there's more to life than physical life. We need the rich word of God. John 17, verse 17, Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. One of the things that the apostle Paul did for Timothy, a young preacher, and Titus is he encouraged them to be in the Word, to be students of the Word. That's where they're going to get their source and strength and vitality, by spending time in the Word of God. Here he reminds us of how vital the Scriptures are by making two statements. He says to us that the Bible is God's breathed book. The word inspired there means that God breathed out these words. Your Bible is a God-breathed book. This is not a book like you'd get at a library. This is God's holy, inspired word. The Bible says of itself in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick meaning that it's alive. It has vitality. It's life-giving power. The Word of God has life-giving power. And it's active. It's not just alive. It's actively working in us. That's the powerful Word of God. And so he said it's breathed out. But then he says also that it is beneficial or profitable to us. It benefits us. It's an advantage to us. The Bible is an advantage to you. It helps you. It profits you. Why live without something that can be an advantage to you, be a benefit to you, be a help to you? I don't think any of us would, you know, choose that. Foolishly, we might do that, but we wouldn't do that in wisdom. Choose to be without the benefit of the holy word of God, would we? No. We also know this by personal experience, how important that the Bible is. You know it by personal experience. We used to take our children to youth camp, and they would stay there all week, and in the morning they'd have a devotion, and then they go to morning worship service, and they'd have lunch, and then they come back for an evening service. And every time we took our kids to week-long, no phones, no computers, they just focused in on the Word of God. Guess what? They all came back on fire. They wanted to be missionaries and serve God and live for God, and they weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to participate in things of the world. I mean, they had their heart on God. And then 2 months or so or less than that, they'd slip back into the old routines of life. What was the difference? A steady diet of the Word of God. And you've experienced that yourself. There have been times in your life where you have been more involved in the Word, more engaged in the Word. I remember a time in my own life I was attempting to memorize the book of Romans. And sometimes I bite off more than I can chew. But I got to Romans chapter 3. And by the way, you can memorize the book of Romans. And I got to chapter 3, but in order to get to chapter 3, I had to be going over it every day, all day. I had a job where I could ride along with my coworker, and we got to the job, we did our work, went to the next job site. So in between every job site, I would open up a little New Testament, and I'd be working on the scriptures, trying to memorize them. And it was during those days that when sin came to tempt me, I could discard it easily. When I was tempted of the devil, I had power over his temptation. I was not even contemplating giving in to him. Why? Because I was in the Word of God all day long, every day. I realized the power of it when I was trying to memorize it all day long throughout the day. And it's true, perhaps even your own testimony, you could say, preacher, I do remember a time when I was in the Word of God, much in the Word of God, and I had much power from God. Anybody have a testimony like that? Where you personally experienced this power? Of course, we see it in the nation of Israel. When they were in tune with God, they were obeying God, they reverenced the Word of God, and there was power. They were defeating the enemies. They were glorifying God. They were not going off into sin. But as soon as they began to neglect the Word of God, they went in all kind of evil and wickedness. Amen? Amen? And so the Bible stresses how much that we need it. Here Paul says to us it's profitable. Let me mention a few things that it's profitable in. It's profitable in all things. In every way. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Let me give you some to think about this morning. It's profitable in our union with God. It is profitable in our union with God. The Bible being read constantly, being memorized, and meditated on helps us in our union with God. Amos 3:3 says this, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" I think sometimes we fool ourselves. We imagine that we are walking with God, and when in reality we are not walking with Him. Because we are not in agreement with Him. We're not even engaging Him. He is not in our mind and heart continuously. You can't make advance in your Christian life without being in harmony with God and agreeing with God and being one with God. There must be a harmony of mind before there's harmony of spirit. And that's what the Bible tends to do. It teaches us about God. It teaches us to think God's thoughts. It teaches us the truth of the Scriptures. It helps us in our understanding of who God is. Our differences in belief divide us from God. The more we understand the truth and agree with it, the closer our union with God is, the closer to God we are. James 4:8 says this, "Draw nigh," or near to God, "and He will draw nigh to you." What is that saying? They're saying, hey, here you are now. Now make some steps toward God. And when you do that, God will draw closer to you as well. Amen? That means that any of us this morning could get closer to God than what we are currently. Isn't that exciting? I can't go outside the building today, though, and go down the road and get in an elevator and ascend up to heaven and get nearer to God that way, can I? No. God may graciously appear to me in a vision or dream. He has not done that my entire Christian life. He may do that. I don't discount that He could do that. That's not His normal means, though, of us getting near to Him or getting closer to Him, is it? How is it that I get closer to Him? It's that I spend time with Him. How do I spend time with Him? I open up this blessed book and I get on my knees and I talk to Him and I let Him talk to me. As I talk to Him and He talks to me, I can draw closer and closer and closer to God. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7 says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." This is 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Listen to verse 6, or 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him," fellowship with God, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," what is the light? Openness, honesty, and truth. You see, God is very open and honest about who He is. Amen? Amen. And He's always truthful. And if we're honest and humble and open to God as well and live in truth, then we can indeed have fellowship with God. Our closeness, our union with God will grow and grow and grow. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light," listen to this, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin."
Amen.
We cannot have fellowship with God without abiding in this light, abiding in this truth. Spending time in the Scriptures. It's profitable because it helps our fellowship with God. It's profitable because it helps our relationship with God. You know the old sayings. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Isn't that a good, that's a true saying. It. More time I'm in this Word, the less I'm interested in sin. When I neglect this Word, the more attractive sin and the world is. You say, "Preacher, the devil's really pulling hard on me." Well, how are you going to resist that? Get in the book. Memorize scripture. Get the shield of faith. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and fight off the enemy. The word of God helps us in our fellowship and closeness with God. Get in the word and you'll hear God speak. When's the last time you craved to hear the voice of God? You wanted to hear from heaven. You wanted God to speak to you. Don't you want God to speak to you?
Amen.
Don't you want to hear the voice of God?
Amen.
Well, here's His blessed word. He said, listen, get into it. I promise you, you get the word, you'll hear my voice. I'll speak to you through the scriptures. I'm glad the Spirit of God speaks. But if you're in this word, you know this Bible speaks. Amen?
Amen.
And God can talk to you. And you can talk to Him. And your union and fellowship with Him can grow and grow and grow. And may it continue to grow until one day we see our Lord face to face. Amen? If we live in the light, our fellowship with God is unhindered. We live in the light, our fellowship with God, hallelujah, it is unhindered. Amen?
Amen.
In John chapter 15, that great section about abiding in Christ, that Christ is our vine, we are just the branches. Jesus is teaching us that we must be dependent upon Him, or we cannot bear fruit. In that section, he mentions how important that the Word of God is in our abiding. How can I abide? How can I depend? The Word of God helps us in that abiding. We learn in the Word of God, without Him we can do nothing. We learn how vital He is. Without Him, there is no fruit. Amen?
Amen.
So he says this in verse 3 of John 15, now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. But he goes on and says this in verse 7. If you abide in me, and listen, and my words abide in you. This whole time he says, abide in me. And then he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I wonder if you can look in your own soul and say, here is the Word of God that's abiding in me. Would it be a treasure trove of scriptures that is hidden in your heart? Or would they be just a couple of pennies and coins of scriptures there? And it only gets there one way. And that's you getting up and opening up your Bible and prayerfully reading through it. And looking for God and longing to spend time with God. That's how it gets in there. Amen?
Amen.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this promise. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Isn't that a great promise?
Amen.
The closer we are to God, the more we will ask for the things that He wants and less for the things that we want. More spiritually sound and true request, fewer fleshly carnal request. Have you ever been grieved that often when we mention prayer request, it's only for temporal, physical, worldly kind of things? Is that true or not?
Yes.
I know God still has the power to heal. I praise Him for that. If you're sick, you need to be praying about that. You need to ask God to heal you. But that cannot be our only needs. Amen?
Amen.
I have an abundance of spiritual needs as well. Bring them to God as well. It's also profitable in understanding truth. It's for doctrine or teaching, reproof for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How am I going to know what to do and how to live or abide in truth? How am I going to know what is true in a world of full of lies and half-truths? How am I going to know what is true and will forever be true? by the testimony of the Word of God. The truth has been under attack for, I know, for at least 30 years. In the dark quarters of evil men's minds, probably longer than that, I'm sure. It only started coming to the surface in our nation, as far as I'm aware, 30-something years ago. It may have been longer than that. But I started realizing it when my wife brought it to my attention. She said, out in California, they're indoctrinating the children. I can't say they were teaching them, because they weren't teaching them. They were indoctrinating the children that in public schools that 2 + 2 didn't necessarily equal 4. If y'all don't remember that, ask my wife about it after services. We were homeschooling our kids. They went on to say if the student thought that 2 + 2 could equal 5 or 8 or whatever the student thought that it was, well, then it's just as true as 4 is. That's insanity.
Yeah.
That would never work. I mean, that would cause society just to fall apart, right? You owe $100,000 on this. I give you $10. Well, that's 100. Not to me. That's $100,000. All error or untruth leads to destruction. National destruction, destruction of our homes, destruction of our churches, your own personal destruction is because of things that are untrue. Multitudes will spend eternity in hell because they believe a lie and not the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Many in America have been convinced in evolution. Which is absolutely untrue.
Amen.
And they're basing their eternity on that. And they will die, if they die, believing in that and holding to that, having rejected Jesus Christ, they'll die and spend eternity in hell because they believed a lie and did not believe the truth.
Amen.
Not long after my wife shared that with me about the California public schools, we started hearing the statement, there is no absolute truth. How many of y'all ever heard that statement before? People say, in the world, and teachers and professors, there is no absolute truth. Well, that statement is a truth statement itself, isn't it? Right? When someone says, there is no absolute truth, they're saying, this has to be true, right? Which means it's a self-refuting statement, right? It's a statement that defeats its own argument. Y'all see that? If there is no absolute truth in that statement, that there is no absolute truth, then that means there is truth, right? It proves there is no truth, and by proving there, it says there is no truth, but it proves there is truth, right? Because that can't be true. And so because that statement, there is no absolute truth, can't be true, there has to be truth. And God has given us truth. Don't ever question or go contrary to the Word of God. No matter what the world says, because you'll be the one with egg on your face. They love to try to find something. Well, we don't, you know, where was Sodom and Gomorrah? And then they get to digging around. They said, oh, well, it's probably where it was. John 17:17, I said this verse earlier, sanctify them through thy truth. What did Jesus go on to say? He said, thy word is truth. Psalm 31:5 says that God is the God of truth. God is the God of truth. Amen? In fact, God cannot lie. He can't lie. Hebrews 6:8 says it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2, the hope of eternal life. which God that cannot lie hath promised to them. God cannot lie. Amen? Amen. In him is no darkness at all, no error, no deception, no dishonesty, no untruth. Psalms 119 verse 142 says, thy law is truth. Psalms 119, 151 says, all thy commandments are truth. That means every true statement found in the Bible, every claim, every promise, every command, every judgment, every precept, all of it's true and it is trustworthy. You can believe it and mark your behavior after it. Obey it and you'll find out when you stand before God, you'll say, well done. Good job. You accepted the truth and you've honored me in obeying that truth. Amen.
Amen.
You'll not ever regret obeying the Word of God.
Amen.
Think about how many things in our world are so messed up today. Why? Because the world has rejected truth.
That's right.
They're only men and women. You can't transition.
That's right.
You'll never make a little boy into a girl.
Right.
No matter how hard you try, no matter how many times you mutilate that child, no matter how many drugs you pump into his body, no matter what you do to him, no matter how effeminate you try to make him, you will never make him a girl. He'll always be a boy. That's why attempting to do that on a child should have a harsh prison sentence with it. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And by the way, you can just go down through the Bible and you can see everything in it. It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. Praise God, it's true. Amen? Spanking your children is a good way to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know some of y'all might not like that, but that's true too. And so many other things we don't have time to dwell on them. By the way, climate change is a hoax according to the Bible. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth seed time, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.
Right.
Of course, there's seasonal changes. That's probably why they went from global cooling, a freeze. Remember, some of y'all are not old enough. They used to say, we're going to go back into a freeze, an ice age. They warned, oh, ice age is coming. And they said, oh, we're going to have so hot, oceans are going to rise and it's going to flood the entire earth. You know who keeps the boundaries of the ocean? Not climate change, God does. He lets them go as far as he wants them to, and that's as far as they'll ever go. That's what the Bible says. One day it will get so hot here, no one will be able to stand it. Peter said this in 1 Peter 3, this earth shall one day melt with a fervent heat. Amen? But that's going to be because of God's judgment, not because you drove a gas car. I'm telling you, if you want to learn and know truth, get in the Bible. It'll help you in every aspect of life. Financially, get in the Scriptures. Find out what the Bible says about finances. Then obey the Bible when it teaches you on finances. And you'll find the blessing of obeying the Bible financially. Amen? And in every other aspect of life. You say, preacher, I just never seen that in the Bible. I promise you this, if you'll get in the Bible and you'll read it and study it, God will open up your understanding of the truth like you've never seen before. And finally, let me say to you, it profits in our ultimate goal. What's our ultimate goal as believers? To be more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It profits us in this effort of becoming more and more like Jesus. The Bible, spending quality time. Please listen to me. It's not just picking it up, carrying it around, or putting it on your pillow at night. But it's opening up the pages and getting in there, memorizing, meditating, praying over it, Spending quality time will transform you into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not changing into his likeness, I promise you, it's because you're neglecting the word. You say, preacher, it's been years since I've grown. I can tell you what your problem is. You're neglecting the word. You say, but preacher, I read my Bible every day. Are you doing that like you read any other book? 3 chapters so you can say to everybody, boastfully, another year, I read the entire Bible this year. Are you going to it hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are you going to it looking for God to speak to you and deal with you and help you? It transforms us like nothing else. The Bible and prayer will make you like Jesus Christ. You'll begin to talk like Christ and act like Christ and love like Christ and look like Christ. That's the only way, though. It's in the pages of the Bible. Amen. Moses exemplified this in Exodus chapter 34. He didn't even have all that we have. He was just receiving the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 34, he spent 40 days up on the mountain. Then he went back up on the mountain, spent another 40 days. And on the mount, he met with God. Moses spent those 40 days fasting and basking in the presence of God's glow. When he came off the mountain, he did not realize this, that the skin of his face shone.
That's right.
He went to talk to people and they did this. He didn't know it. He didn't know it himself. But being with God, spending so much time with God, caused the glory of God to radiate on his life. Amen. What's missing in our churches and in our pulpits? It's the radiance of God's glory. Why? Because we're not spending time with him like we ought to. Being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus exemplified this as well on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, he went up there with Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah appeared. What's that about? The law and the prophets. And then the gospel in Christ. He's spoken to us in these last days through his Son. What's God saying about Moses and Elijah and Jesus? Saying you need the word of God. If you're going to be transformed, this is how you're transformed. And they looked at Jesus and they saw that he was brighter than the noonday sun. And that's what God wants to do for every single one of us. Amen?
Amen.
To make us shine like Jesus shines. That'll never happen if we don't get serious about the word of God. I tell you, most every church in America is highly deficient in this area. It may be taught well, it may be preached well, but it's not received much. You ask most Christians about their personal time in the Word of God, and if they don't lie and they're honest, they'd have to say, really? Most of the time I spend in the Bible is when y'all read some scriptures on Sunday morning. I look that up, and that's about all the Bible I get. You know what I'll do sometimes if I feel like I'm getting weak and attracted to the world? You know what I'll do? I'll start listening to sermons, sermon after sermon. Why? Even listening to sermons makes me do a big U-turn. Why? Because they're preaching the word and you're getting the word and you're being exhorted through the word. It helps you. Amen?
Amen?
The best thing you can do, though, and I can do, is get in this book ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let me end by saying this. And maybe some of you here this morning have no interest in the Bible at all. And I would say to you, if that's the case, if that's your case, that's probably a good evidence that you don't know the Lord. I remember I was lost. I didn't have an interest in the Bible. I could care less what it said. Why would I read it? I wasn't interested in anything it had to say. I was more interested in what? Worldly things, carnal things, fleshly things. If I found something on the in the library that would entice my lust, yeah, I might read that. I might watch that or look at that. Why? Because it's something I desired. I wanted. I didn't want the Word. Why did I not want the Word? Because I wasn't regenerated. I wasn't born again. I was still dead in my trespasses and sins. But as soon as I was made alive in Christ, something was lit in my soul that gave me a longing for the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I want the Bible. I want to know the Bible, understand the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
So if you have no desire for it, it may be that you have no Christ in your heart. And if you don't have Christ in your heart, let me plead with you today. Come and receive Jesus. Come and receive Jesus. He doesn't lie. He told us there's a heaven for those who put their faith and trust in Him. And that same Jesus told us there was a hell for those who reject Him. And if there was no hell, Jesus would be a liar. Right? There has to be a hell. There must be a hell. There is a hell. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus said there was. But if you're a Christian, let me tell you, I don't know if any of you ever went through a lengthy fast, but first day of your fasting, you gotta have these cravings, you know. You know, you might skip breakfast, but boy, lunch seems to be like, oh man, I gotta have lunch. And you might make it past that, go to night, and those cravings are there. I don't know if y'all ever did this. But if you can ever get past day three or so, those cravings aren't there. They're not as intense. You don't have to eat. Day seven, not there at all. You say, preacher, what's the point? This is the point. Some of you have so neglected the food of the Word. There was some hunger. There was a time that you said, I gotta get the Bible. I gotta feed on the Bible. I gotta have the Bible. But you've been so long without it that you don't have a desire for it no more. That's why you can go to church, hear preaching like this, go home and put the Bible in the same place that you always put it and not pick it up till next Sunday. Because you've starved yourself so long that you don't even think you need it anymore. Can I say something to you? What happens to people who never pick it up again? They never eat food again. Day seven, you're not interested. There's going to come a time. It's going to get pretty intense. How about day 40? Day 45. What's going to happen if you don't ever start feasting on it again? You will die! Right? You may think, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. And you don't realize you're in trouble. Amen? Would you be willing to come this morning and say, God, feed me. Give me a hunger for your Word again. Help me not to just continue to live without seeking you in the Scriptures, seeking your face. This Bible is profitable in our fellowship and union with God. It's profitable and it reveals truth, it teaches truth, it shows us what's true. It's profitable because it makes us more and more like Jesus. By the way, it's profitable in every other area as well. Amen? If you have a need this morning, I promise you, that need's found here in the Bible. Would you come and spend some time with God and talk to Him about it this morning, please? If you need to be saved, come. Receive Christ. If you're a Christian, you're already saved, come and say, Lord, help me in this area of my life. I don't want to stay the same here. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Father, Lord, it's such an important moment. We can do what we've done before. We can have a heart warmed to the truth. We can feel the tug of the Spirit of God. But if we don't do something about it, if we leave this service like we've left so many other services, we'll just shrivel up spiritually and not be what we ought to be. I pray, God, that you keep us from that this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us to realize we're not responding to a preacher, but we're responding to the Spirit of the living God, speaking to us about our own personal relationship with you. Help us, God, to do business with you this morning. And Lord, if there's any among us that are lost, please help them to see. They keep going as they're going. Hell will be their eternal home. Lord, you don't want that. You proved that by dying on Calvary's hill so they would be saved. Help them to come, receive Jesus this morning, have eternal life. Bless in this invitation, Father. Please have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to page 275.